Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to address two situations that involve mean girl dynamics. I know you've been dying to talk about this, right?
Oh yeah, can't wait to talk about mean girl dynamics.
Yeah, so one question involves certain female colleagues that seem to solicit mean behavior from their female peers. Never heard that before. And the other question is from the male manager who has to manage a conflict between two of his female employees, which is really becoming very common now.
Yeah, and can be very intimidating.
To a man?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Men are intimidated by women's behavior?
Oh,
is that true?
I was actually just reading an article about that men feel really threatened.
Did Catherine write it?
Between the... I don't know. I'll check and see if she was referenced in there.
Look, hold on. We have gone for years consulting different places, and the male managers always say, when so-and-so cries, I lose it because I don't know what to deal with.
Yeah, but
I don't know how to deal with
it. I feel like they're not intimidated. Right. They just write it off as female.
No. I think it's like a deer in headlights experience because you don't know. You think you should fix it. On the other hand, you're at work. And on the other hand, you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, they definitely don't know what's going on. And why would they? I mean, it's definitely a gender issue. All right, well, let's just go to question one, Logan.
I'm a lawyer at a prestigious corporate law firm. I'm running an interdepartmental task force focused on improving communication among the departments. One of the members of my task force, also a lawyer, told me that she notices that other women get very impatient with her at work. They yell at her, roll their eyes when she's speaking, and generally treat her with disrespect. Initially, I couldn't understand why this was happening to her. After working with her for several months, however, I find myself doing the same thing.
Uh-oh.
What I've discovered is that she's very wishy-washy and seems unable to commit to taking any actions. Whenever I ask for her opinion or assign her a task, she becomes slightly confused and non-committal. It drives me crazy. Do you have any advice for how to handle this kind of situation? I feel horrible treating her badly, but her wishy-washiness gets under my skin.
It's under my skin.
I've got under my skin. You know, wishy-washy? Yes.
It's so interesting because we always forget about this category of women who, who bring out your mean.
This is my favorite category because you remember, Kathy, when we came up with this category, it was I came running into the office.
Yes.
Because I realized that I had worked, in particular, I'd worked with this one woman who was so nice, and I was so unkind to her because she was very, very needy. And she would literally, working as an employment counselor, she would knock on my door or come chase me down the hall. She had thousands and thousands of questions. And so after a while, I was just like, what do you want? Get out.
That's so unlike you.
Wow, yeah. It is so unlike
you. It brought out my mean, and I felt like this person. I felt horrible.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't my desire.
Yeah, so I don't know. It kind of reminds me of like the little weak puppy, you know, when all the puppies are born, and then there's one little runt or whatever it's called.
The runt.
Yeah. Yeah, and then all the other puppies attack it. That's kind of what they feel.
Oh.
Because she's so wishy-washy, and she can't commit. So,
yeah,
she gets on everyone's nerves. I mean, that is definitely a clear indication if everybody's being mean to her that she's doing something.
Yes.
That's not about the women that are being mean.
Right. She's eliciting. Now, she may... There's some people, the only kind of feedback they got growing up was negative feedback. So then they unconsciously solicit that from others or elicit that out of others.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's the case here, but I think there's also a possibility that she just doesn't know why she's, you know, getting this reaction from women.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met women who bring out your mean and they have no idea.
I'm
thinking of one in particular. When I told her this, she was shocked. And, you know, she wasn't young when I told her this. It had been going on for quite some time. So there are women that, you know, are very good at getting other women to be angry at them, and they have no idea
what they're doing. So the most kind thing or professional thing is to let this person know what they're doing?
Yeah, I think you have, well, also, with somebody like this, you know, because this is work, this is not your personal life.
Right.
I mean, I think you have to set very clear boundaries. And
that's
and,
it. Mm-hmm. That's what I had to do in my situation.
What'd you do?
Well, it wasn't the same, but it was the neediness. I just said, you know, I can't speak now, or I won't be available until 3 o'clock, or you have 5 minutes, and we'll talk about it for 5 minutes, and then I need to get back to work, like that. I just addressed the work situation.
Just very direct. And
yeah. Not, I can't stand your neediness. It's driving me crazy. And if you wonder why other people don't want to be near you, it's because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Yeah, I don't really think it's your responsibility to tell them that.
To convert their personality for the rest of their
life. I was just going to say, this is a personality trait, though, right?
It is.
I can imagine she's very indifferent. You know, well, I mean, in life, you take her to a restaurant, she's like, oh, I don't know, do I want the salad or do I want the chicken? I don't know. What do you think I should get? Should I get the? And you're sitting there, you know, for 15 minutes trying to figure out what to eat for lunch.
Yeah.
Have you dated someone like this, Logan?
I've probably gone on a few dates, where somebody's indecisive.
So what do we do here,
Kathy?
Well,
most of the women I go out to dinner with run the restaurants. They're pretty aggressive.
Mustard on the side, no dairy.
Exactly. Right. I think you have to be really clear with her. If you work with somebody like this, and you have to say, I need an answer by 12 o'clock. And if I don't get your answer, I'm just going to move forward.
Right.
I'm just
especially in a law firm, right? I feel like a lot of things are timed, where you have a certain time frame for things.
Yes, everywhere things are timed.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only time you would really discuss this with her is if she came to you and said, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Well, then it's a wide open field.
I've got a little list here.
Well, since you asked.
Have a seat. It's going to be a while.
Have you got a recorder? Turn it on.
But other than that, you just have to set tight boundaries. The women that are getting angry at her, that needs to stop.
How yes, so?
I think it needs to stop. I just think they have to, you know, wake up to the fact that they're getting angry at the little puppy, you know, and just stop it.
So send out an interdepartmental email that says, stop being mean to this person. She can't help herself.
No, I mean... It's just, everyone has to read Mean Girls at Work. I mean, it's just something that if you find yourself being mean to another woman at work, you look unprofessional. Yes. Even though she's causing it, you don't have to behave that way.
Well, going back to what you said, I think the key term that you used is setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. If you find yourself continually angry at somebody or something, it means it's time to set a boundary.
Right.
So in this case, you're saying with the wishy-washy one, if you say, I'd like to know your opinion on whatever, the communication initiative that we're drafting here, and she said, I don't know, then you say, just let me know by Friday, and we'll incorporate it, and if not, we won't.
Yeah.
That simple.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you have to be like. And if you find yourself really wanting to snap, that's not acceptable. I mean, it's not just about her. You know what I mean? What are you laughing at me
for? No, it's true.
What else is it about?
It's about your own reaction to her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not handling the situation correctly.
Right.
So I just think women have to stop doing that. I'm talking to myself. Although I don't run into this very often.
I can't imagine that you're an eye roller, though, Kathy.
Oh, and please. I can give a good roll. Oh, yeah. I can do that. I just don't really see this very often. Usually, maybe because I'm in New York City, most of the women are super aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have another kind of personality that brings out your mean?
I think the manipulative person.
Brings out your mean.
Yeah, like I'm thinking of a girlfriend. She's probably not listening. She.
We hope not.
All right. You know, she'll run an hour late.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of self-absorbed. Oh, Catherine knows who I'm talking about.
What I was going to say, we in Mean Girls, we call them doesn't know she's mean.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Or maybe doesn't mean to be mean. Those ones, the self-absorbed ones who do things that drive you crazy.
Right. Those women really drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the self-absorbed, that's one thing, being very late, and then also just being inconsiderate in general. The person who takes a phone call while you're having dinner with them.
Yeah.
I really don't like that.
Rude.
Oh, I think that's shared community time.
You do?
No, I just made that up. no, I think it's rude too. But again, it goes back to boundary setting, doesn't it? Because if someone is chronically late, you basically say, I'm waiting for 15 minutes. Right. If you're not there, I'm leaving.
Right. Yeah. It's a hard one with friends, but professionally it's easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes. If it's your boss, it's not always that easy.
So what we're saying to this individual, if this every time you see a wishy-washy response that drives you crazy, you need to create a deadline right, for this individual. And then if they don't meet it, you just move on.
Right. Don't get angry or don't, you know, attack her because she's wishy-washy. It's just don't make it your problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any advice or tips for things to do, you know? In a certain situation, maybe, you know, let's say she does something and it really gets under your skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have our whole unhooking process. Just walk away.
Should you just, you know,
unhook
go for a walk around?
Go for a walk, splash water on your face. I would say get ready. One of the things that I think you need to do with someone like this is know what you know. So instead of being surprised every time she becomes confused and noncommittal, be ready. Right. So let's say it's something where you're going to ask her to create a calendar and she says, I don't know. I have all these deadlines. I'm not sure if I can do it. You have to be ready. Know that that's what's going to come and then be ready with your deadline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is pretty annoying.
This is really the more you think about it.
The more I think about it, I really don't like this.
It's tough, and actually, I think non-committal wishy-washiness is not uncommon these days. And often it doesn't happen in person. It happens through email, you know, through someone passing the buck, so to speak. So it's challenging.
Yeah, I mean, I think in situations like this, I've been forced to make a decision for the person.
Uh-huh.
And then I've actually told them, like, I'm going to make a decision because this has to move forward.
Uh-huh.
I can't hold it up. And if you don't like it, you have to, you know... You'll have to live with it because we need to move this forward. That sometimes helps.
Well,
anyway,
it might help them, you know, push them. Maybe they'll think, oh.
Why is somebody like this? Why are they wishy-washy? Oh, do you have enough time for this, Catherine? What is that?
It's a certain degree of insecurity, usually, that they don't trust their decision-making. Mm-hmm. And they don't trust their ability to fulfill whatever commitments they make. And they have fear of entrapment, usually those three.
That makes sense.
They don't want to be, you know, pinned down in
I
any
see.
Way.
Yeah. Yeah. So a decision is an entrapment to them.
Yes. And in some cases, what's interesting is this kind of person, what they want most is that everyone like them. So they're afraid of making the wrong decision or doing the wrong thing. But instead, they get everyone not liking them because they're so wishy-washy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a tough situation.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's worse for that person.
What I have to say that I love
it really
is that
does now that she broke it down, I'm like, oh
yeah, glad I'm not like
it's
that.
Not easy to be her. It's true. Right. And also, I mean, there's such a poetic irony to this being an interdepartmental task force focused on improving communication among the departments.
Yeah.
Because
it's
a communication issue that she's having trouble with.
Definitely.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes to show you go to work and you think you're going to do your job, but no, you're really stuck with people's personalities and people's issues.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
Right.
All right. So I wouldn't take this one on.
Yeah.
I would just, you know, put really clear boundaries.
Right.
I need your answer in 20 minutes.
Right.
If you don't have one, I'll take care of it.
Right. Or we need that really calendar. Clear. If you can't do it, maybe someone else would like to be on the task force in your department.
Just don't let her get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just take control.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I would do.
No, it's true. Well, you're not keep responsible, you know, for other people's actions. You're just responsible for your reaction.
Good.
That's right. But, you know, I really like your question because I do think what's important is you do have to calm yourself down first, cool down. And we have an inventory and Working With You Is Killing Me that I think is always helpful, which is, it's, you know, what's happening here. What are the facts? What's her part? What's my part? And what are my options? And that would be a great thing to do in this kind of situation, to really write out or type out or jot down your answers to each of those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll help you get deactivated, you know?
Right. Yeah, and it really works. This kind of a character we do cover in Mean Girls at Work.
Yes. The indecisive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And the girl that brings out your mean. Like, you don't think of yourself as a mean girl. You don't think of yourself as someone who attacks other women.
Yeah.
But then this kind of a woman brings it out.
Right. And if you find that you can't help yourself gossiping about this kind of person.
Gossip. So delicious.
That's a telltale sign, right, that you're activated.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. In my experiences.
Oh, because I could gossip whether I'm activated or not.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I don't really like to gossip. So uh-huh. if I find myself saying a derogatory statement about someone, it's because I'm activated.
Mm. And it's very true, by the way. Catherine does not like to gossip. It's not, and it is not that interesting to me. We never gossip here at work. I have to go home to do that. To close the door and call a girlfriend. All right, we're going to take a commercial break and come right back with more Mean Girl stuff.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Logan, what's our second question?
I'm a manager at a health insurance company, and I have a problem with two of my staff. They're both women, and apparently they are at war with each other. I did not know anything was wrong until one of them threw her status report at the other one during a staff meeting and ran out of the room crying.
Oh, crying. That's always really effective.
As a guy, this kind of conflict is foreign to me. I keep hoping they can fix it themselves, but my other staff come to me and complain that it's impossible to work with the two of them. What do I do?
You fire them.
Oh, boy.
Well, this kind of stuff's happening all the time.
Yes,
I mean, I think what you have to do is first talk to them individually.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that you were going to agree with me. And I think you have to explain to them that their behavior is unprofessional.
I agree.
That whatever is going on is really not my business. Yeah. I don't really need to know, but you need to figure it out and you need to work it out.
Yeah.
Because that's an unprofessional. You can't be throwing it's papers awful. As a coworker. And I understand that you're eroding the atmosphere here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you may want to listen to the story if you have the patience, because there, I mean, there may
Kathy
be.
Kathy rolled her eyes while I she did roll said my that. Eyes.
Because I do roll my eyes. I like to roll my eyes. I actually make all of the faces that are in the book.
So do I. I'm sure I do.
Not really.
We're a very anyway. Expressive bunch.
So you say to them, to each of them individually, yes. This behavior is eroding staff morale.
Yes, ooh. And it's unprofessional.
And it's unprofessional.
Mm-hmm. But it's. I think he also should listen to what happened.
Yes.
I mean, if it turns out to be something personal, he doesn't really need to listen to that story. But he should.
I would disagree.
Oh, why?
Ooh. I only differ. Here's the thing. And not that you don't have to, obviously, if it's a personal thing. But I would, the whole thing is that women have stories,
mm-hmm.
right? And we get very invested in our stories.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are something happened probably a while ago between these two.
Mm-hmm.
And each one is still telling themselves that same story over and over. So I think it's worth it to find out what the story is on each end.
And you think he needs to know. Okay. He needs
just
to
for
know.
Not to fix it, but just to get the picture. What happened right. here? Now, you could take the other road, though, Kathy, which is true. You could say, I don't care what happened. I don't know what happened, but you need to work it out. You could.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if this is so not your thing,
yeah.
you could get somebody in HR to maybe help you with it.
A woman.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to listen to what the story is.
Good point. That's true.
That might be the way to go. But don't do what so many companies do, and they bring the two in to mediate.
Yeah.
For a guy, actually for anyone, if you're not a professional mediator, don't bring in two women and try to mediate them.
Right. Well, it's like setting a bomb off. Right. Rather, yeah. better to diffuse each of the individual
right.
bombs.
Right. Right. Well, they may.
Then putting them in a room and letting them set off like.
Together.
Well, you may hear something in the story that will happen again later. Like there may be some information that you need.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point. I think is that you know. Here's the thing that I think many men don't understand is that you do understand this if you're a guy. Women have very good memories, and you know this if you've ever had an argument, Logan, right?
Yeah, we don't forget those arguments. They're embedded.
Right, exactly. So whatever they're doing now is based largely on a resentment from something that happened. And that's not, I mean, fortunately, very often between men, if there's an altercation, it happens. You yell or whatever you do, and then...
talk it out and it's over.
Yeah, then you go have a beer or play ping pong or something. Mm-hmm. So in this case, that's not what's happening here. And it's not going to happen. And I think many men hope that that will happen.
Right.
I think that's what this person's hoping will happen. Sorry to tell you. It's going to require some work on your part.
And, you know, when we say call them in and, you know, individually and discuss it with them, you may have to do that a couple of times.
Yeah.
It may not happen with one meeting. Mm-hmm. But I think it is the manager's responsibility to, you know, clue them both in.
Yeah.
That this is not working, that they have to do something about it. I mean, this is a piece of managing women that I don't think is talked about very much.
No.
And it's not a bad thing. I mean, when you're managing men, you have to keep them focused.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When you're managing women, you sometimes have to manage their interpersonal dynamics.
Right.
And because things happen with among women that are not discernible to the male eye.
That's right. That's one of the things we learn, actually, that... nonverbal cues between women often occur unnoticed by men. It's just they've done studies that reveal that. So those eye rolls.
So the eye rolling, yeah.
Yeah, or the up and down look, or the little scour, or the
whispering, nudging
your friend when someone walks by.
Mm.
You know, that stuff, or even just a well-raised eyebrow.
Mm-hmm.
Most guys aren't going to detect that.
Or they just think it's a look. They don't know that there's something behind it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole communication behind it.
Yes.
And, you know, what he needs to know also are teams forming, you know, is
camps.
Right.
Different alliances.
Ooh. Yeah. Different alliances in the office.
Yes.
That can happen.
Hitting against each other.
Yeah.
The other thing to appreciate is the power of the nonverbal in a meeting. Like, if someone notices, you know, let's say... one of the women says to the other, do you think you can get that done by Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one's like, well, I think so. You know, that kind of thing. Everyone in the room is uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just those two.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can create this atmosphere of fear and tension where no one's really speaking up or doing much of anything.
So is that something that you call out on the spot? Or is that something that you would you even address stuff like, how would you go about, would you do it in the moment or would you do it after? You know, I saw that eye roll or I heard, you know, your tone.
Well, it depends. I mean, in some situations you might be able to say in that moment, what was that? Let's get rid of that. It depends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But don't ignore it like it's going to go away.
Right.
Right. I think most likely it would be after the meeting you say, you know, could you come see me for a few minutes?
Could you bring you and your
what
eyes?
The hell was that? Could you bring you and your attitude into my office?
Right.
Or my cubicle probably is more like it. But it is better to say specifically what you saw.
Right. Right.
You know.
Yeah, sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Because these things fester. I mean, you have to see if, in fact, that comment, then the whole room got tense.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just call a break, you know, and handle it on the spot. But it does need to get handled. And of course, we're in a lot of meetings where nothing is handled. And then at the end, there's, you know, a lot of problems.
Yeah.
What I'd love to do, actually, is go around meetings looking. And people probably don't do this, but it used to be that you would doodle during a meeting. You know, and so both men and women could draw incredible things and cartoons of the individual speaking that would really tell you a lot.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Well, my husband is actually a very good doodler, so I've seen some of his creations.
His meeting doodles?
Yeah, they're amazing.
He should make a little illustration book or something.
This was June.
Yeah.
July. That's really funny.
All right, so again, we're saying address each person separately.
Yes.
right? Make sure that they know that the behavior is eroding the morale.
And that it's noticed and that mm-hmm. it's unprofessional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then get back to us. Tell us how it went.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll report back to our listeners, right?
And if there's any questions that you have or any mean girl situation you're dealing with, we would love to hear
yeah.
your stories.
Yeah, so that's it for this segment. Please tweet us your mean girl stories at AskK2. Review us on iTunes and join us next time for another My Crazy Office. Also, please send your questions and your stories if you want to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.